TNT Radio wants to know what you really think, because your opinion matters. At TNTRadio.live, upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Informative and engaging. Rick Munn. Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we're marching into hour number two of Locked and Loaded today here, Friday, the 2nd of December, Anno Domini 2022. For all you fact checkers out there, yes, we're locked, we're loaded, we're live for at least another 56 minutes. Anyway, hope you enjoyed that first hour of the show with Natalie. It's always a blast to have her on. She's been a little cornerstone of the show here since about February of this year, actually. And she enjoys coming on and talking to me and vice versa. I think she's a little star and she really knows how to get her point across without pulling any punches or watering things down. So she's a good one. She's a good one, is our Natalie. What's happening in the world at the moment? Well, let's look at some other developments. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has called on Ireland to support Ukraine's EU membership. I'm sorry to say this, speaking as an Irishman, I'm watching the real concentrated, concerted demolition of Ireland at this point in time. No matter where you live on the island, we're getting it. We're being really failed by our politicians, so-called politicians, that is, and we're being sold. We're being sold out. We're being sold out. Zelensky is calling on Ireland to support Ukraine's EU membership. He was addressing a dinner last night via video link, of course. He never seems to go anywhere, just sits in, behind his desk with his little green T-shirt on or his black hoodie like me, addressing the world and begging for money. Begging for support, begging for favours. So Ireland's next on the list. Ursula von der Leyen, I mentioned this earlier on, was patting Micheál Martin, the current Taoiseach, on the head, telling him how wonderful he was and how Ireland had opened their doors and wanted to take in Ukrainian refugees. She doesn't speak for the people of Ireland. He doesn't speak for the people of Ireland. I don't know anybody on the island of Ireland that's happy with the current mass immigration, illegal border invasion that's happening and the destruction of our towns and tourist industry. I don't know anybody that supports it. So von der Leyen and Zelensky, keep your thoughts and opinions to yourselves and keep your paws off Ireland. And apparently another thing to add insult to injury was Dublin allegedly is going to be paired up as a twin city with Kiev in Ukraine. I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be paired up with least, to be quite frank with you. No business getting involved in that nonsense. But there you go. It is what it is. I'll maybe dip into this business when I'm talking to Ian Davis in a few minutes' time. What else is happening? Well, there's a whole furore going on about an old woman, Lady Susan Hussey, yesterday addressed a guest at Buckingham Palace, was asking her where she was from. The woman was black. She was dressed up in what looked like, I don't know, Nigerian national costume. What was her name? Nyoko Fulani. And this old doll, one of the Queen's old ladies in waiting, I think she's in her 80s. She's past it, you know. She's shuffling around the palace, trying to talk to guests and was trying to establish, you know, this lady's origins. And apparently she was persistent and the woman got offended, and that now this old lady has had to hand in her resignation and, quote, she's shattered and heartbroken and will never recover. And her life is now a wasteland. I don't know. Listen, let me tell you something. I've been to Africa a lot, okay, over a period of about 10 years. And at times it was there for maybe 6, 7, 8 weeks at a time. And I was the only white person in the place that I was staying. The only one. I didn't see any whites for literally 2 months. And everyone, almost without exception, that came up to me and approached me and spoke to me, thankfully, they all referred to me as Mzungu, Mzungu, okay? And Mzungu means white man in the Swahili language. So it was par for the course. When you walk past a school, all the kids would run out and point and go, Mzungu, Amazungu, right? You go into a shop to buy something, go, hey, Mzungu. Okay, they didn't understand that I could speak their language as well, Kiswahili. But anyway, I humored them. I didn't take any offense by it. I was a stranger in a strange land. I was white. I wasn't dressed the way they were dressed. I spoke with a different accent. The kids were pulling the hairs off my arms because they hadn't seen hairy arms before. Okay, I didn't get upset. I didn't think they were racist. They were just curious as to who I was and where I was from because I didn't look like I fitted into that area. That's called curiosity, okay? And it's called interaction. And it's not necessarily something that you should get offended at. And when you dig into the background of this lady who was allegedly offended at the palace, you'll get your eyes open as to who she really is and what she's really about. But anyway, I just had to say that. Mzungu, Mzungu, Mzungu. Take that for 8 weeks straight. Trust me, it does get a little bit tiresome at the end, but I was never offended, never offended. But anyway, maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just thick-skinned. I don't know. But we have a presence on all social media platforms, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Getter, on Gab. And we also stream on all the major streaming platforms, on YouTube, on Odyssey. And of course, we have a website, tntradio.live. We have a chat function on that website. We've got a What's On calendar. We've got a shop on there, a merchandise shop, which is very tasty. And a full list of all our shows that we've recorded this year are available for you to download and share with other people or catch up on if you've missed any show. So please download the app, stay connected with us, and help to spread the good word about the very wonderful TNT Radio.
Going beyond the headlines,
they break down the big story.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, let's get back on the news here. India. India remains the fastest growing major economy in the world, and the country's GDP has saw a massive 6.3% growth in the July to September quarter. This is something that warrants looking at, I believe. India is rising like the cream to the top of the old economic milk bottle. Don't know where that analogy came from, but it is. And here to talk to me about it right now is none other than Jeremy Beck, TNT's finest. Jeremy, India, should we be keeping an eye on these guys or what?
Oh, Rick, I think India is on for a major rise. I mean, this is quite an incredible growth figure. Yeah, considering this is a year-on-year figure for the latest quarter, and I think it's quite extraordinary given the precarious economic situation that the whole world is in right now. The Reserve Bank of India, in its report, this is just earlier this month, they projected a growth rate of between 6.1% and 6.3% for the same period. So this figure is right on that upper end of this forecast, 6.3%. So certainly they didn't disappoint.
And that's only quarterly. That's only quarterly, by the way, as well, which is, I would have been happy. I think anybody would be happy with a 6.3% increase in GDP on an annualized basis. But if they keep going at the way they're going, you know, they'll be well into double digits on an annualized basis. So fair play to them.
Oh, actually, no, it doesn't quite work like that, Rick. This is a quarterly figure, that's true, but the way they measure it is its equivalent annual. So they measure it every quarter and they say this would be the equivalent of a 6.3% annual growth. That's called a year-on-year figure for the quarter. So the growth rate for that quarter is what would it be over a year? It's a 6.3% year-on-year. But that's still impressive. I mean, in any country, 6.3% for an annual growth is massive. Even a 2% growth is not too bad. And given that we're in economic times where many countries are in recession, where you have negative growth, You know, that is quite incredible.
It is. Well, that's kind of the point. You know, even if it had been in, I would have settled, any country would have settled for a 6.3% annual growth figure, let alone a quarterly one or however way they work out their figures. Yes. So that's what I mean. 6.3% is massive concern, considering some countries' economies are actually shrinking year on year. Theirs are booming at the minute.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the agricultural sector recorded a growth of 4.6, so it was a bit under that for that same period. But that was up from the previous quarter and improving on the 3.2% recorded for the same period last year. So agriculture is on the way up, but still lower than the average. However, the manufacturing sector actually contracted 4.3%, reversing the 4.8% expansion for the fiscal quarter, and certainly off the 5.6% pace of growth in the corresponding quarter a year earlier. So even though the manufacturing sector contracted for that quarter, it's unclear of whether that's an ongoing trend or just a bit of a blip in the figures, because overall it has grown in years gone by. But the employment generating construction sector saw a 6.6% annual increase activity, which is quite impressive. But overall, India's 6.3% growth for that quarter, for its year on year for that quarter, is impressive. By contrast, China registered an economic growth of 3.9% for this quarter. I think that's a huge, considering India is nearly ready to overtake China in terms of its population.
Yeah, that's something else that I noticed you'd brought up about the demographics. So India also has a younger demographic, which will obviously help to support economic growth if they're predominantly a young nation rather than a nation of elderly people that are coming up to retirement. They're no longer going to be economically viable. They're coming up on China. It's definitely something to watch in terms of becoming a very relevant influencer on the world stage over the next 12 months, let alone the next 3 to 5 years. Also, I think it's important to note that they wouldn't be, how would you say, heavily invested in renewable energies at this point in time. They're very much focused on coal-fired power generation at the moment. They're a massive consumer of that to generate electricity, to generate power. They haven't really bought into the whole net zero climate change business. They may pay it some lip service. They may have some token investments in solar and various green energy sources. But I think it's fair to say one of the powerhouses that's helping the Indian economy along is that they're not actually nobbling themselves with a fascination or an obsession with net zero.
Yeah, well, that's true. And that's true for India, and it's true for also China. China has played the green card somewhat, and in fact China has the biggest number of wind farms in the world, but at the same time they've got the biggest of just about everything. They've got the biggest coal production, biggest manufacturing, they have the fastest growing nuclear power, although not the biggest but the fastest growing. India is also playing a bit of lip service to this green net zero carbon, but at the same time they're still building the coal-fired power stations. And India has quite an impressive nuclear power sector as well, and growing nuclear power, whereas Europe and the West in general have turned their backs on nuclear power. So India is growing in population, is growing in coal-fired power stations, growing in, they're really pushing the renewables in a big way. They're playing lip service to it, but they're not doing it that much. And as you say, the demographics is very important, because China has nearly 1.5 billion people. India is now at 1.4 billion and will be overtaking China's population next year. Now, that's big. And China's birth rate is 7.52 births per 1,000 population, whereas India's birth rate is 16.42 births per 1,000 population. So it's more than double China's birth rate. And if you look at the demographics overall, China has a lot of old people. And once they pass on, as we do, well, then the population will start to drop off because the birth rate is just not replacing them. And so if India does the right things, who knows where their economy will be. But then you have the other issue, Rick, is the vaccinations. And we don't know what the long-term impact of these jabs are. Both India and China have had a substantial number of jabs in the population. And where that's going to be is a bit unknown.
I think that'll come out in their statistics for births as well. I mean, I had Senator Malcolm Roberts on here last week, I think it was. He was highlighting to the Australian Parliament about the massive drop-off on, you know, quarterly birth rates in Oz. It dropped off from something like 24,000 live births a month down to as low as 8,000 or 9,000. Don't quote me in the figures, but it was a huge drop. You know, you're talking 60-odd% drop, and obviously heads are being scratched. What's causing it? So I don't know how India are reporting on that or what their actual uptake of these jabs were, if they were predominantly mRNA based. But if that is the case, we can expect them to follow suit like every other nation in the world that has been flogging these vaccines to people, especially pregnant women. It's definitely going to have a knock-on effect on birth rates. However, as you rightly said, they're already a very populous country to begin with predominantly a younger demographic. So they may be able to weather that storm out a little bit more. Jeremy, thank you very much, by the way, for doing the research in that one, for bringing that one to our attention this morning, for all the stories that you've been sharing with us this week. Much, much appreciated. Hopefully you have a good weekend, and we'll get talking again next week. That's Jeremy Beck. I'm Rick Munn, and we'll be back after these short ads with Mr. Ian Davis. Please don't go away.
You should hear what Joe Hoft is talking about.
They wouldn't let him in, even though he had the permit to go and observe the roll-up process. They wouldn't let him do it. They called the cops on him. The cops showed up thinking there was going to be some sort of riot. There was no riot. Patrick was just sitting there in a chair. And as he sat there that evening, he saw people come in and drop off these envelopes full of these so-called flash drives. And the thing was, then at a certain point at night, around 10:30 or so, the media started mentioning the results of the election. And he's like, well, how can that be? Because all these envelopes full of these flash drives were all sitting not far from him in this hallway at the center there in Detroit. He's like, well, how are they getting these numbers if they're not uploading this data from these flash drives? So we learned yesterday, thanks to Patrick, in Michigan anyways, that the numbers being reported to the media are not supported by these flash drives coming out of the various precincts, because those flash drives weren't even counted. Another piece of the puzzle comes to the forefront.
Joe Hoft on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The following is made possible by Dad.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling all over it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
Why do you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle.
And kids that spend more time with their dads grow up to be smarter, more successful.
Can I tell you a cat joke? Just kidding.
And with any luck, funnier adults.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Because he didn't have any body to go with.
Dad jokes rule. So take a moment to make a moment and give your kid a laugh. It's as easy as going to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's really funny.
The FBI said Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation, interfering in the 2020 election to a far greater extent than anything Russia or China ever could have hoped to accomplish. This corruption must be investigated and exposed. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, just before I welcome Ian to take the stand, just a quick shout out to a few people that have been messaging in the live chat, tntradio.live. Zippy, thank you for the piece on the Kensington Palace debacle about the alleged racism, the endemic racism that's everywhere in Buckingham Palace. Shock, horror. Thank you for the link to that piece. Paisley Parrott, a.k.a. MES, says, you have followed and subscribed to John Waters, diary of a dissenter since the beginning of this crap. He says it all about Ireland. Yes, and just for your information, Paisley Parrott, I have John Waters on with me next Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. and also have spoke to him quite a few times here in Locked and Loaded. Search back through the uploads for that. Overpopulation is from the same BS camp as climate change, says Zippy. Yes, 100% agree with that. Everybody on the planet with half an acre of land could fit into Brazil. You know, there's no shortage of land out there. I've been across various swathes of unpopulated parts of the world. And yes, overpopulation is not a problem for me. It might be a problem for someone with a death wish that wants to kill millions and billions of people off as part of a sick sexual fantasy that they have. And I'm looking at you, Bill Gates. But anyway, let's not go down that route at 25 past 10 on a Friday morning. Ian Davis is back in the house. Always lovely to see you. Nice to see you've moved in from your car. Last time you were broadcasting from the street, I tell you. The time before that, somebody was jackhammering through your wall. What have you got in store for us today, Mr. Davis?
Well, I don't know. There are some workmen out there, Rick. So, you know, who knows? It could be calamitous once again. But thanks very much for inviting me.
Listen, it's an absolute pleasure. And by the way, before, let's get the housekeeping out of the way. Check Ian out on Twitter. If you have Twitter and you follow him, if you don't follow him, he's at underscore in this together on Twitter. And more importantly, he has a website, Ian Davis, IAINDavis.com. He's a journalist. He's an author. He's a researcher. He used to work in healthcare. He's an author. He's all the things I'm not. He's quite intimidating, this guy, actually. I feel like I'm not worthy. I'm doing a Bill and Ted bow to you right now, sir. It's nice to have you back on the show. Thank you for gracing us with your presence.
Yeah, I'm also a complete numpty, mate. You don't know one end of a saw from the other. So there is that.
Well, I'm a numpty too, so at least we have that in common. At least we have that in common. I have a little army of numpties listening to us, and they say that with all the love in the world on the live chat. It's a good thing. TNT Radio is a good thing. It brings together the best of people, I think. And we're here today to talk about what's going on in the world. There's a lot happening right now. I mean, like, since you last came on, since yesterday, there's a lot of stuff going on. I want to kick off with, I dip in and out of crypto analysis, very, very general crypto analysis. I want to look at the FTX collapse briefly, more so the fact that the person behind it is walking free. And not only walking free, but smugly grinning at cameras, giving weird interviews. And I might be mistaken about this, but maybe it's tonight, is speaking at a Washington Post investment gala dinner for $2,500 a ticket. Am I imagining this? Was this a funny lucid dream I had last night, or is this actually happening on planet Earth as we speak?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you know, insane, isn't it? I mean, obviously, I mean, it was a monumental fraud and quite openly. So there's all the stuff with the money go round between him and the Democrat Party. And, you know, I mean, but there is no law, mate. There's no, or rather, I should put it, there's no justice. There's just us. You know, there's this, the system that we call law, and I firmly believe in the concept of law. Personally, I would suggest that natural law is all we need. But, you know, I believe in the concept of that idea. I think it's something that naturally occurs and something that we can study and learn to live our lives by. But nonetheless, you know, it's a good idea. But what we have, you know, the so-called legal system, it's just a joke. And nothing shows that more clearly in this case in the US than, you know, what's happening with SBF and how it's just unbelievable, isn't it, that someone can commit obviously commit a fraud. I mean, you know, there's innocent until proven guilty and so forth and all that. But I mean, the evidence is pretty clear that it was a fraudulent. So whether we can blame him as an individual, which, you know, all the evidence again would suggest that we probably can, is another point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, clearly the operation was fraudulent. So, you know, he's the guy behind it. So the fact that, I mean, who would pay? I mean, this is a good question. Who's going to pay $2,500, right, to take essentially financial advice off him? I mean, you might as well, you know, it's like taking medical advice off Harold Shipman, isn't it?
And the absurdity, okay, let's pause. The absurdity, you know, you can extrapolate that across just about everything that's happening in the world right now. So I was talking with Natalie before you came on about, I don't watch I'm a Celebrity, I'm sure you don't either, but the fact that Madazalam, Matt Hancock, the adulterer and the corrupt ex-health minister, was brought on to a reality or a supposedly reality TV show and won the hearts of many, many people. That just blows my mind. And extrapolate it further again, and we can lead into this. In fact, you know what we'll do before I extrapolate myself to death here? We'll take a really quick 45-second news break, and then let me lead it into something else that you can give your opinion on as we extrapolate ourselves here on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.
TNT Radio News.
Hi, everybody.
So many crazy news stories going on right now.
Now, the news. Go.
Matt Boyland here with a check of your TNT headlines. The Pentagon has signed a $1.2 billion deal to produce 6 surface-to-air missile defense systems for Ukraine. The US is considering declaring a private Russian security company a terrorist organization, despite establishing peace in parts of Africa. And a cluster of mail bombs have been posted to various government and military sites across Spain, the latest turning up at the US Embassy in Madrid.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download, keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Okay, so we're examining the absurdity of someone who allegedly has been guilty of multi-billion-dollar fraud, walking free, and going to a dinner hosted by the Wishing Post, for which punters or mugs will pay $2,500 a head to get investment advice from said rogue. Okay, so that's just one example. We talked about Hancock, the whole Elon Musk thing. You know, I'm sure you're at least in passing following what's going on there, while the Twitterites are getting into a lather about their freedom of speech being returned, he's rolling out the Neuralink brain implant. And in his oversimplified explanation, he said, it's just like taking a piece of your skull out and replacing it with a smartwatch. Okay, that's nice and simple. He said it's safe and effective. The FDA are imminently going to sign it up for human subjects. Never mind the monkeys that have been made and had to be put down by the thousand. Never mind those. We don't need human. Let's just get the chips in the heads. What are people not seeing with this one, man? Really, what are people not seeing with this?
I don't know. I mean, it just is insanity by ever greater degrees, isn't it? You see things like you know, Trudeau going on about the great protests that are going on in China and how it's a struggle for freedom. I mean, Trudeau. I mean, what? But people kind of like watching it and nodding wisely and going along with what he's saying. You get things like, you know, footballers protesting. You know, I'm not saying that there isn't an issue of protesting. Yes. You know, gay rights and things like that in and transgender rights and so forth in Qatar. But they fund terrorist organisations. I mean, it's like, yeah, don't worry about the international terrorism. Just protest against people not being able to gather in bars. I mean, it's just... Yeah. It's
ludicrous.
It's crazy.
For the first time, you're quite a serious kind of guy. I'm kind of a serious guy. this, we've done pretty much nothing but laugh. My head, the back of my head is actually sore at the minute from laughing. Last night, I walked the streets to get my head shot. I watched the Kanye Alex Jones interview. It was unbelievable. I was chuckling. I made a video. I was laughing. I woke up this morning laughing at the madness of everything that's going on. But it seems to be, Ian, does it not? People are compartmentalizing their fury and compartmentalizing their virtue signaling when it suits them. So you take the Qatar business, for example. Let me just throw that into the mix. Roy Keane is pontificating. Gary Lineker is pontificating. Neville is pontificating. David Beckham is pontificating. And while they're pontificating in Qatar and slagging them off, they're pocketing those Qatari dollars, or those 150 million in Beckham's case, to be the face of the World Cup. As someone said, why couldn't you just be outraged from the UK? Why couldn't you just commentate remotely? Why did you have to go there and take their money? Well, someone had to go and someone had to be a presence. The hypocrisy, man, it's rank. I call it rank hypocrisy. It makes me want to puke. What do you think about all this business?
Yeah, I mean, it's the hypocrisy. It's disgusting, isn't it? I mean, you've got this... The idea, for example, you know, if the footballers wanted to protest, if they really believed that they wanted to protest for LGBTQ plus whatever rights, right? Mm-hmm. Then why did they go? Mm-hmm. Oh, go yep. then. You know, if it's a matter of principle and it's something that mm-hmm. you strongly believe in, then don't go. Say, no, I'm not playing out there. But no.
Yeah.
Because it isn't. That's the point. It isn't a matter of principle. It's got nothing to do with principle. It is, unfortunately, just what you said. It's virtue signaling. It is. So it's actually about them. It's about
it
them.
Is.
I mean, the crimes that were committed in Qatar in the construction of those football stadiums and that infrastructure that they put in place. I mean, we do not know how many people died doing that. We don't know because there was no record of these itinerant workers that were being transported in from all over the world, like the Philippines and places like that, that were just dying en masse and had their passports taken off them so they couldn't, used as slave labor. But no, we're going to protest about what color armbands we wear. I mean, it's sickening, isn't it?
It's sickening. And the other thing is too, you know, I'm a big believer. There's a lot of people in the world that I really disagree with their political views or the way they live their lives. But they're hardcore in that they would take a bullet for what they believe in, or they would die for their beliefs. And for that, I respect people, actually massively respect people that are willing to go to the nth degree for what they believe in. They're willing to take a prison sentence. They're willing to be shot. They're willing to be persecuted. I have respect for that. When you look at England, the England football team, they wanted to wear their little rainbow armbands. You know, they were told that's not, you know, you get a yellow card for doing that. You get a yellow card and we'll have to think about it. And then they bowed the knee, and then they were playing against America, you know, where the whole BLM nonsense originated from. They were vertical, but the England team were down on one knee. And then you had the German football team covering their mouths as a symbolic gesture against oppression. And then the Iranian football team, I believe, didn't sing the national anthem, which could end up getting them beheaded when they go back home again. It wasn't about rainbow armbands for them. They're literally, remember that World Cup where was it Uruguay? One of their goalkeepers let a goal in some drug cartel, had a lot of money in the game, and he was shot when he came off the plane. I don't think the England team are going to face anything like that when they land down again, do you?
No, I thought, wasn't that Colombia? I thought, I don't know.
Colombia, right, sorry, yeah, Colombia, yeah, Colombia.
Yeah, yeah. I think there might have been some money involved there as well, don't you?
You know,
don't let it in now. You're only not supposed to let it in until the second half, you know. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, it's just, it is disgusting. I mean, it's, and it is difficult sometimes when you're kind of commenting on this stuff, to maintain any kind of like sense of well, stay calm, to be honest. Because, I mean, because it's just obscene what is happening around the world at the moment. But I think the most worrying aspect of that is people's blithe acceptance of all this nonsense that is just being pumped out of every pore of the mainstream media and every pore of the political class as well. I mean, it's just garbage, most of it, that comes out. And I think we need to be wary. I mean, for example, looking at that Matt Hancock thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think it was something like, you know, the polls were saying that something like 20% or 30% of people had changed their opinion, but 70% had not changed their opinion and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And the polls said mm-hmm. this and he's on telly. I mean, let's not forget that Matt Hancock has got, you know, a huge marketing team around him that undoubtedly liaised with the marketing team of the silly bloody program, whatever it was he was on, right? So there is a tremendous amount of image manipulation going on there, you know. I mean, but more concerningly, you know, you immediately spoke about the midazolam issue, mm-hmm. which, you know, I know exactly what you're talking mm-hmm. about.
Yep.
But how many people in their media-controlled, mainstream media-controlled environments and that are just going about their daily lives, just trying mm-hmm. to put food on the table and pay their energy mm-hmm. bills, how many of them even know what you're talking about?
Exactly. I think, do you know what the best gauge possible is for anybody's understanding on anything? It's word association. So for example, if I went into the street and I said, okay, I'm going to give you a name. Give me two things that spring to mind when I mention this name. So for example, I go down my high street and I say, Matt Hancock. Someone might say affair. Someone might say lockdowns. Very few people, if anybody, would say midazolam. But that's the first thing that comes into my mind. So all the real evils that guy has committed have been really suppressed. And even when he went to a committee and he was asked about, you know, did you test people before you released them? He said, no, I didn't. The guy's as guilty as sin, let alone PPE procurement with his pub landlord, some young lad that lived down the street from him, 30 years of age, never procured PPE in his life. He landed a 30 million quid plus contract, who just happened to be Matt's buddy from his local pub. And there was an interesting thing last year where some keen-eyed person, Hancock was doing little Zoom meetings from his little office in his little house, and there was a picture on the wall behind him of the local pub with the landlord for which he had secured the 30 million PPE contract. When that was brought to light, that story, the picture was removed from Hancock's study. So, you know, when people say Elon Musk, for example, they might think Twitter, you know, freedom of speech, Tesla cars. They're not talking about Starlink, government defense contracts, brain implants, and experiment transhumanism. That, to me, Ian, is the biggest barometer of all. When you get someone to spit out what they think about an issue, like, for example, I don't know, Barack Obama, what do you think about him, the Queen, or whatever it happens to be, the first two words out of those people's mouths will tell you everything you need to know about that person's comprehension of who that person actually is. And sadly, most people, they don't know nothing about the midazolam scandal, and they should, because the guy's a mass murderer. He makes Harold Shipman look like an amateur.
Yeah, no, quite. I mean, one of the things about the midazolam thing is that it happened after, let's remember that it happened after the inquiry into the Gosport War Memorial Hospital scandal. Mm-hmm. So it was clear what the mixture of the opioids with midazolam. You put the two together in a certain mixture in these mechanical drivers, and that is what killed. Admittedly, it killed more than 200 people at the Gosport Royal Memorial Hospital. Everybody knows that it was thousands, right? So that exact mix of drugs was recommended as the treatment profile for COVID-19 by the government and SAGE and, you know, the NHS. So it's the same treatment plan. It was the one that they were using at Gosport War Memorial, which everyone admittedly, publicly, legally, from a, you know, quote unquote legal point of view, was murderous in a corporate, you know, culpability sense. But you know, and they, what did they do with that? They just hung out a couple of G doctors, blamed it all on them. This was systematic. You have to look at that, and I, you know, have been looking at that, wondering, was this some sort of training operation for what was to come?
Yeah. Because and we're almost testing their dosages, testing their administration, and say, right, this works well. We might need to up this down and reduce this or double the dose and that. Yeah, almost like it was a dry run for maybe something bigger that's coming down the line.
Well, certainly you could look at it that way, yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know that there's quite a few people that have done a lot more investigation on that than me. But you have to say that the it looks very, very. I mean, when Matt Hancock was talking to that MP, the doctor, I can't remember the guy's name. You know, do we have sufficient quantities? Yes, because we have quadrupled the amount of midazolam that we usually import. Hancock ran a negotiation with the French to secure additional midazolam. You know, it's you know, it's a
which is a respiratory suppressant, by the way.
It's a respiratory suppressant.
So it's a little bit like buying pillows to put over the heads of people that are struggling to breathe. Effectively, that's what it's like. So if you're struggling to breathe, and the spin on it, by the way, the spin on it was it's a sedative also. So if you're thrashing around, Ian, if you're thrashing around and you're struggling to breathe, that's harming you. So we'll just give you a little spot of midazolam there. That's actually going to calm you down, but it will also slow your breathing down, and you're struggling to get oxygen in the first place. Man, it's a murder machine. It's a murder machine. And as you say, he quadrupled this dosage of it, going as far as to procure extra from France right at the beginning of all this, right as everybody was being thrown into the old COVID wards. And let's not forget the ventilators. I remember, my memory's quite good. I remember at the start they said they had a ventilator shortage. They were procuring tens of thousands of ventilators to ram down people's throats. Mechanical ventilation is not it's not something you just do. Okay, it could kill you just as much as not ventilating you. And there was a warehouse. I remember seeing a warehouse where they'd bought like 20,000 of these for the UK, and 18,000 of them were sitting still on the pallets in some warehouse in London somewhere. Never got to the hospitals. Man, if you were a crook, if I was a crook, boy, did we miss an opportunity with medical procurement over the last 2 years. We could have been, bought an island beside Richard Branson somewhere in the Bahamas, and maybe our own little private jet like Jeffrey Epstein did. The sickness and the corruption of these dogs is beyond belief. Listen, we've got to take a quick ad break. Yes, we've got to take a quick ad break. I'm going to come back. Let's look at a little bit of political movements on the world stage in and around Ukraine and maybe a few other things before we wrap up the show here today. This is Ian Davis. I'm Rick Munn. This is Locked and Loaded. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
At the turn of the century, it was announced that there was going to be no more snow in the UK. Children would not know what snow is. Of course, the winters of 2009-2010 and 2010-2011 really put a burr, and I mean burr, in that saddle since it snowed so much. Well, guess what's coming back? A very similar pattern to that. And I'm going to be very curious to see how this is all going to work out. France, Germany, Poland, Scandinavia, the UK are going to be encased in ice and snow and severe cold. And we've been talking about this here since the end of summer. Now, some people are picking up on this, but I'm going to be very curious as to what they're going to do because of their insane energy policies. This is meteorologist Joe Bastardi, your climate and weather watchdog on TNT, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires. Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
TNTRadio.live.
I like the reporters. I like the current events.
Talk that I like. Politics I like.
A lot of news.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Just something in my mind before I move on to something else. The Alex Jones, Kanye West business, I don't know if you saw it or not. Someone was making some very relevant points. Now, you know, for the first time, for comedy value alone, it was worth seeing for watching Alex Jones clenching every sphincter in his body tightly as Kanye proceeded to talk about his love for Hitler and the Nazis, and we shouldn't be too hard on them. They did some good things. Watching Alex Jones squirm in and of itself was worth a lot of money. I don't agree with Kanye West's views, by the way, in any way, shape, or form. But he did then throw in a statement. He says, well, why is nobody talking about Barack Obama's bombing of Palestine, for example, or what's going on in Syria or the Iraqi war? Millions of people died. Now, he's subsequently been banned from Twitter this morning by Musk personally because of incitement to violence, okay? After him, of course, rolling out the freedom of speech, First Amendment, everybody's welcome, blah, blah, now Kanye's gone straight away. But people are saying, well, you know, does he not have a point in that? Kanye West is an individual, okay? Just one person that, to my knowledge, hasn't killed anybody yet, unlike some of the old American presidents, for example, Obama or Bush or the current numpty Biden. They've got literally the blood of millions of people in their hands, as do their administrations. They're still able to spout their rhetoric. There's Kanye, who I believe has mental illness. He's went off on one. He said some crazy things. He's gone, but Biden's still posting. Why is this?
Well, I mean, it's government, isn't it? That, you know, government kills more people. I mean, that's what government does, basically. And foreign policy, at the end of it, boils down to, you know, ultimately boils down to killing people, especially when you're looking at kind of, the interplay sort of globally of sort of geopolitical power, then ultimately that's what it ends up with. That's what government does. It kills people, and nobody kills more people than government. So. True. You know, so, and all, you know, I would say leading, you know, or maybe you might say the most powerful governments, all powerful governments that pretty much end up killing people, both domestically and internationally.
Yeah.
You know, so there we go. But I mean, I didn't see the Alex Jones things. I've seen a few. I haven't seen the whole thing.
I'll admit, I've seen maybe 2 minutes worth, and that was enough. I mean, that was enough. What I saw blew my mind. And he was sitting wearing his black, this black mask, I think, protesting against Balenciaga. And he whipped out a fishing net at one stage, a yellow kid's fishing net, and he was waving it about, saying about Benjamin Netanyahu, he likened him to a kid. It was bizarre, man. It was bizarre. And I caught this late last night, and it was so bizarre. I laughed, not the content or the people per se, just at the absurdity of it all. And that's why I'm saying today, you and I are laughing a lot. My head's actually sore from laughter. I haven't laughed this much, but nothing's funny. I'm not laughing at anything that's actually funny. I'm feeling like the Joker today, actually. I feel like the Joker, you know, laughing at the absurdity of the world, and it's all just a big clown show, and here we all are in the middle of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is, I mean, I don't know what he said, but I mean, if he did incite violence, you know, then that's reasonable. I mean, it was Sir John Stuart Mill who spoke about the difference between legitimate and illegitimate harm in speech. So there is a case to be made that if you're standing in front of a burning, you know, you're standing in front of a corn dealer's house with angry mob outside with pitchforks in hand, and then you start saying kill him, then, you know, that's more than that. Then you have gone beyond the legitimate use, he would argue, the legitimate use of free speech. There is,
but he didn't
so
do that.
With any kind of freedom, there's responsibility. That because that's basically what the exercising of freedom is about. It's about being responsible for yourself, your own actions, and also having a responsibility to the welfare, not causing any harm to others. So, That's how we defend freedom, by acting responsibly ourselves. So if he wasn't, and I don't know, mate, because I didn't see it. So you know, I can understand him being
He didn't do that. In fact, what he did was when the show, like I said, he came up with some crazy stuff. Okay, he was talking about we shouldn't be too hard on Nazis. Hitler brought some. He had some, in his words, redeeming qualities. He brought some good stuff to the table. That's what he said. Okay, which agree or disagree? I don't agree with it, but he said it. And then after the interview, this is actually what got him banned. He actually put up a prayer request where he asked people to pray for world peace. He hated violence. He hated war. And then he put up a symbol, which was like a Star of David with a swastika inside it. And he said, we should love everybody the same way. That's what got him banned as an alleged incitement to violence. The guy's got bipolar disorder. I think they were pushing all his buttons. They were and he's a manipulator too. Listen, we're all manipulators. Let's be honest about it. If we take our, we get off our ivory towers and our soapboxes, we're all playing some kind of a game. You are, I am, Luke is, the listeners are. But he's being heavily manipulated and he's a heavy manipulator. And when you put those two things together on a world platform, you're going to get fireworks, which is what you got. And this is what we're talking about today. But strangely curious to see what will develop next, but at the same time I don't want to know, because it's just, to me, it's like a descent into total insanity and depravity. That's what we're witnessing at the minute on planet Earth, if we make it
I think the thing with Alex Jones is everyone's focused obviously on the court case, and everyone's focused on, you know, his claims about what happened at that place that no one can talk about anymore.
Yes.
So fair enough, right? So that's what people focus on. But let's not forget that he became famous, right, for exposing Bohemian Grove, which no one's explained to me what that's all about yet. You know, the world's richest people worshipping an owl. I don't know what that's about. Well, I've got an idea what it's about, and it's not good. You know, so until someone sort of, as has been pointed out, he, for some reason, I mean, this is where you all start getting into the controlled opposition thing. How did he get in there, really? I mean, how did he get in there? But he did, and who filmed it and put it out, and so there we know that there they are. I mean, and then you go back and look in the history books and sort of look at, you know, the people who have gathered at Bohemian Grove every year or every 2 years, whatever it is, to essentially engage in this casting off of cares ceremony, which is like, you know, like bloody something that, you know, some sort of satanic worship of Moloch or something. I mean, it's just bizarre. It's so bizarre. That's the world. And I do wonder if sometimes what we're going through at the moment is we're having things thrown into the mix in popular culture and in the news narrative, and that, which are utterly contradictory. They're self-contradictory and inexplicable. Now, one of the things that it's a well-known behavioural change technique is to use, well, it's basically hypnosis, isn't it? You put someone into a hypnotic trance by giving them, or whacking on the cognitive dissonance. You give them a moment of unreality, and they're suddenly kind of like spellbound by it, and then you can then carry on. I mean, that's the way the media works all the time anyway, but nonetheless, at the moment, it's just getting ridiculous, isn't it?
That's it. That's it. This business is nothing new. The stuff that you're describing, these techniques, these manipulation techniques that you and I are talking about are nothing new. And evil and wickedness is nothing new. But at this point in time, my personal take on it is there's never been a period in history where so much evil has been condensed into such a short space of time, and so many people have been attacked mentally and physically and spiritually and twisted inside out, back to forwards and upside down. That's why I think we're living, in my opinion, in the most absurd, ridiculous, insane, depraved, and dangerous point in human history to this date, 2022. And sorry to say this, but we've only got 4 weeks left until we hit 2023. On the current trajectory that we're on and the velocity of which we're moving along that trajectory, it doesn't bode well. I won't be ringing in the new year with some party poppers and a bottle of champagne. I'll be probably out in the back garden howling at the moon, which is how I cope now these days, Ian. I don't know about you.
I'll just be amazed that we made it. I'll just think, wow, who'd have thought that? It's just crazy.
Well, you know what? The rock music is starting to filter through the speakers. That means we're actually up to time. It's been a very lighthearted little take on things, but also deadly serious at the same time. But in my opinion, my old mantra is, if you don't laugh, you cry. Thankfully, you've got a sense of humor as well. Hopefully, you listeners, if you don't have a sense of humor, ask Santa to bring you one for Christmas, because trust me, you're going to need it into 2023. Ian, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, as always, for taking the time out to speak to me. I'm always blessed, and I'm sure the listeners are too, by your input. That's Ian Davis at iandavis.com. Check him out at _InThisTogether on Twitter. I'm Rick Munn. This was Locked and Loaded for the week. Stay tuned for Darren of Plymouth. I'll be back next Monday, all being well. Have a great weekend, everyone.